Other presidents of Turkey and Syria about to meet. Recep Tayyip Erdogan has been a vocal critic of Bashar al-Assad, but now it appears a reconciliation is underway. So what's behind this development and what does it mean for conflicts in Syria and the region? This is the Inside Story. Hello, welcome to the program. I am Hashim Ahalbarra. Syria's opposition says it's unthinkable to consider a future in which Turkey, its biggest supporter, makes peace with the Syrian regime, its biggest enemy. Well, there's now a possibility of talks between Ankara and Damascus brokered by Russia, and the Syrian opposition isn't staying quiet. Political and military groups, as well as thousands of civilians, have held major rallies in areas they hold in northwestern Syria. In Idlib, protesters also voiced their opposition to any rapprochement between the two nations, chanting songs now decades old. They called for the overthrow of President Bashar al-Assad's government. That government is accused of killing hundreds of thousands of people. After years of civil war, it controls about two-thirds of the country.
The decision today in Idlib is clear. Today in the liberated area, there are more than 20 demonstration points to tell you that there is no reconciliation with this regime. There are no negotiations with this regime. There is no other solution in Syria other than overthrowing this regime.
We went out to overthrow this criminal gang, the drug gang, that has corrupted everyone. They've corrupted society, and they're going to destroy the world with their captagon, their vice and defilement, this band of criminal agents.
Defense ministers from Turkey, Syria and Russia met in Moscow last month to discuss ways to end the war in Syria. They talked about the possibility of returning refugees and how to work together to combat armed groups. The discussions follow repeated warnings from Ankara that it could launch a ground operation in northern Syria, an action Russia opposes. Ankara blames Kurdish fighters across the border for a bombing in Istanbul in November that killed six people and injured dozens. Turkish President Tayyip Erdogan says he may meet Syrian President Bashar al-Assad.
Russia, Turkey, Syria olarak.
As Russia, Turkey and Syria, our intelligence officials and defense ministers met in Moscow and we have launched a process there. We will bring our foreign ministers together and then, depending on developments, we will come together as leaders.
Let's bring in our guest. Yahya Al-Aridi is a Syrian opposition member and a specialist in Syrian affairs. He joins us by Skype from Paris. Vahbi Baysan is assistant professor of history at Ibn Khaldun University. He joins us by Skype from Istanbul. And joining us from here in Doha is Peter Polak Springer. He's an associate professor at the European University of Idrina. Welcome to the program. Yahya, why is the Syrian opposition concerned about this rapprochement between the between Turkey and Syria? Is it the fact that they realize now that their dreams of a Syria without Bashar al-Assad could be shattered?
Well, greetings first, Hashim, to you and to your guests. I would like to say that the opposition and Syrians in general felt that Turkey is a friend. They, first of all, used the terms, historical terms, cultural ones, al-muhajiruna wal-ansar. And suddenly there is a shift, an unbelievable shift, I would say, in the position of Turkey for several reasons I could specify. And this is some sort of a disappointment, especially with the situation of the regime in such a hectic situation economically, socially, internationally, politically, and morally. Recently, the regime is labeled now as the king of Captagon. All these things just happening, and with somebody who is the closest to Syrian people, that's what the Syrians believed or thought, is now extending a hand to what he called today a criminal, one who kills his own people. So this is really surprising, and we understand really why this shift is taking place.
All right.
If you want me to specify those reasons for why the Turkish regime or the Erdogan group is making this shift, I can specify them very quickly in terms of elections. The Erdogan group is Russia.
We will talk about those details later. Vahbi, you've heard what Yahya has just said. It's a feeling of disappointment among the Syrian opposition and the Syrian rebels about this new overture from the Turks towards the Syrian government. Is this dictated by tactical reasons, or is it a genuine geostrategic shift by the Turkish government? The need to turn a chapter, start a fresh new one with Bashar al-Assad?
Well, first of all, I think we should begin that the negotiations, or rather officially not confirmed reports, were suggesting in the last couple of years Turkish officials at the highest possible level were meeting with Syrian ones. So the meeting in Moscow for Turkey, or for us in Turkey, was not really a big surprise. And it was more or less expected when you look at the discussions and criticisms of the announcement of rapprochement officially by Erdogan. So, I mean, in Turkey, the mood was that for many, it was like long expected, because the conflict wouldn't be solved by itself, and someone should start sitting around the table. And also, I remember Mr. Erdogan in his Turkish speech was saying, we are not abandoning Syrian opposition as such, but rather we are extending a hand to find a solution for a really like a crisis more than a decade lasting. And Turkey, of course, has very serious security concerns. So far as the armed people, let's say over 50,000, we don't know the exact numbers, but were armed and financed and trained by the U.S. in the pretext of fighting against ISIS. So Turkey takes it very seriously.
Okay. Peter, we would like here to break down those security concerns voiced by Turkey. Is it the presence of the YPG, which they consider to be an affiliate of the PKK, as the biggest motive for the Turkish government to say now, we'd rather have deals with Bashar al-Assad than seeing the YPG gaining more ground in northeastern parts of Syria?
Well, definitely the YPG is a major concern, but it's a part of a list of interests that Erdogan has with regards to this move to reconcile. Certainly, if he can get the support of cooperation from Damascus, on the one hand, he can negotiate to he can cooperate with Damascus on the issue of the Syrian Kurdish problem, and at the same time, Damascus can benefit by making them dependent on al-Assad. That's just, I think, one factor only.
Okay, there are among many other factors. Okay. Yahya, what would be your next move? I'm talking about the Syrian opposition in general. If Turkey decides it's about time to build strong relations with Bashar al-Assad, what would you do?
Well, this is a very difficult question now, Hashim, but let me just address two particular points raised by your guests. Mm-hmm. Is, for instance, extending the hand to Bashar al-Assad, who has been labeled as the king of Captagon and the killer of his own people by those who are extending their hand to him. A solution for the Syrian crisis for all these years. I think there are reasons behind this Turkish move. Basically, the elections and the issue of terrorism you asked the other guests about, thinking that the Assad regime that planted PKK and that nurtured PKK all these years to be the one who is going to get the PKK terror away from the Turkish borders. Another reason, I think the Turkish authority feels that there is a vacuum in the Israeli file and in the Syrian file, in the sense that they can move the stagnant water in this file and remind the United States it's being doing nothing towards that critical matter in this critical area in the world. Another thing that mobilized or moved Turkey actually is the objection to the military operation which was planned in northern Syria. I think Erdogan felt that this objection could be solved in this way. And I think this is an illusion. You cannot solve problems by extending a hand to the cause or to the one who created these problems and expelling or uprooting millions of Syrians, not only inside Syria, but to Turkey. You have about 3-4 million Syrians. And when their voice is heard yesterday and a week ago, and it's going to continue, I think this is a reminder not only to Turkey, but to the world, that they have abandoned a very critical crisis and a horrible crisis taking place for 12 years. I think this is a reminder of the world. If Erdogan feels that he can fill up the vacuum in this way by extending a hand under...
Okay. Wahbi, you said earlier we are yet to wait for this rapprochement, but you remember the Moscow meeting where you have, for the first time, the highest level of official contact between the two countries, Syria and Turkey, defense ministers, along with senior intelligence officers, coupled with the issue of refugees, Syrian refugees, in Turkey and the security situation. Do you think that for Turkey, this is about the time to reshape its relationship with Syrian government, with Bashar al-Assad in particular? Vahbi.
Well, Hashim, certainly the geostrategic circumstances are definitely not the same as, let's say, a decade ago, when Turkey made these decisions, and Turkey and Turkish people firmly believed and stood behind Erdogan in support of Syrian opposition. Let's remember that. And Turkey opened had this open-door policy for Syrian innocent people running for their lives, men, women, children, as our guest Yahya quite rightly said, that the number reached 3 to 4 million. But actually, just singling out refugee issues probably wouldn't be a good answer to why Turkey's rapprochement. Let's remember, Turkey did that with Saudi Arabia, with United Arab Emirates, you know, kind of getting relations better. And now that I know personally that there are a strong, what they call, feeling to get relations better with Egypt. And, of course, Syria was always... on the line, and the mood in Turkey is that this rapprochement, despite attracting a lot of criticism, or will be attracting more, could be a good sign and a good thing in order to find a peaceful solution or a viable exit strategy to the conflict that caused so many lives and millions displaced within Syria and became refugees outside Syria.
All right. Peter, do you think that Russia is going to be a key component of whatever happens in the future in between Turkey and Syria?
Yes, and certainly it was the initiative of Erdogan to ask Russia to mediate. Perhaps Russia, you know, was behind this already, behind the making of this plan for rapprochement. Russia definitely wants to be a key player and to maintain its influence in the Syrian region, but to act as a mediator here. Given that it's in a weakened position due to Putin's war on the Ukraine. Certainly here, Putin wants better ties, to strengthen his ties to Erdogan. And this is already ongoing since last year. There was a meeting in Sochi in Russia on between Erdogan and Putin on economic issues, and this is a kind of a continuation. Erdogan needs Putin really here to be the power broker, the mediator, to help him persuade Al-Assad.
Okay.
For this reconciliation.
Yahya, now, you've been talking about your concerns about this rapprochement between Turkey and Syria, but I would like to ask you about the fact that 12 years ago with the uprising, the opposition was gaining ground. It was controlling huge areas of Syria. Then it was beset by different sorts of factors, divisions, what you described as betrayal of regional powers, to the point where now your presence is just confined to a small part of the country. And when you see this reset in Turkish-Syrian relations, could it be the moment for you to reconsider things like, for example, starting talks with Bashar al-Assad?
Well, Hashim, things are not a matter of geography in the Syrian case. It is a matter of a dictatorship killing its own people. It's not a matter of opposition and a regime, as the case is in Turkey. No, the situation in Syria is a different one. People rose originally in 2011 in order to overthrow a dictatorship, oppression, suppression, killing, jailing, displacing. That's basically the reason. Syrian people were, Turkey was their goal for just getting shelter. They do appreciate what Turkey has done all these years. When nobody was there, Turkey was there. Mm-hmm. And this is highly appreciated. And that's the source of the surprise, the case of Syrians. When you hear the voices of those people who demonstrated, took the streets in hundreds of thousands in northern Syria, you are reminded of 2011 when people rose against the regime. Now they do not want this reconciliation. They just are very sorry for that who was so close to them,
okay,
to come to this point when the regime is in its weakest position, and to extend the hand to rescue him almost. And Putin, who is a mediator, who is trying to push for this, is in a real crisis due to what is happening in the Ukraine. And he wants to say to the world, sends a message to the world that he is in control of Syria. He can do things the way he likes. Mm-hmm. He can push Turkey to do what is unacceptable. This is a moral collapse.
All right.
And we hope and aspire for Turkey to wake up earlier.
All right. And this brings me to ask Vahbi about... Vahbi, you do understand this feeling among the Syrian people that they could be betrayed by Turkey, which has always been saying that it will support the Syrian people. Now, when you look at the reset you've been talking about, a reset of Turkish relations with regional players, the United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, now talks about a meeting between Recep Tayyip Erdogan and Bashar al-Assad. All these elements, if you bring them together, if you stitch them together, do you think they could be conducive to a permanent solution to the crisis in Syria, to the political problem in Syria?
I personally very much hope so. And I would be delighted to see, because, I mean, as an academic, I have hundreds of Syrian students, and I really enjoyed being with them. And myself, in the past, traveling a couple of times a year. So I even consider myself like an honorary Syrian. So that much I appreciate being with them. And certainly, all the people in Turkey, a desire to have a permanent solution to the conflict in Syria, and it should start from somewhere. And I really sympathize with Yahya as well. I mean, we don't deny that. Mm-hmm. But it is not only Turkey. Let's remember, since last November 2021, the UAE Minister of Foreign Affairs mm-hmm. paid another visit to Damascus in December, just months ago. So it seems that the kind of a mood in the Middle East, in the Arab world, is to get back, reestablish relations, and find a solution to that conflict, because it is like the longer it is becomes more chronic, and hopefully this would be a good step forward.
All right, Peter, we talk about Syrian Turkish relations as if this is going to ultimately boil down to the two key players, Recep Tayyip Erdogan and Bashar al-Assad, come together and set aside those differences. But when you look at the modalities of whatever agreement will happen in the future, particularly when it comes to the YPG, do you think that it's going to be easy for the Syrian government to deploy forces in the northeastern part of the country along the border with Turkey without the Americans, the French, saying, wait a second, we've been here providing significant assistance to the YPG, and you cannot just come now and change the political map on the ground?
I think this is an agreement that was made by Russia from the beginning. And Russia wants to create stability in the region and wants to maintain its influence. Certainly there's going to be a response from Iran, but it's going to be really the key player here is going to be Russia, which is going to Erdogan needs mm-hmm. in this case for very in order to make this rapprochement, and this rapprochement is really for the benefit of Erdogan, for his to resolve his border security problems and also to resolve his problems on refugees.
Okay. Gentlemen, we're running out of time, but I really appreciate your insights. Yahya Al-Aridi, Vahbi Beysan, Peter Pollack, Springer, thank you. Thank you very much indeed. And thank you too for watching. You can see the program again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com, for further discussion. Go to our Facebook page, that's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is @AJInsideStory. From me, Hashim Ahbala, and the entire team here in Doha. Bye for now.